You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to our chat with Mr. John Blizzard. And if you haven't heard yesterday's, we talk about his upbringing in Dallas, which of course leads to a chat about RHOD. And yes, he knows Deandra Simmons, Leanne Locken, Stephanie, Brandy. We talk about last season of RHOD. We kind of get into the origins of Puppygate, those texts, where it all began. We talk about Beverly Hills, this current season, Kathy Hilton, Crystal Kung Minkoff. We really cover it all. So you can listen to this chat, but it makes more sense if you listen to yesterday, our sit down with Mr. John Blizzard. And here is our John Blizzard extravaganza, part two, continued now. And we start with Teddy. Let's not forget, him and Teddy used to be friends. Stay tuned. I mean, do I even need to ask, are you sad to see Teddy go?
Not really. I don't know. It's funny. I actually, here's the thing. Teddy and I have not talked in 2 years now. 2 full years we have not talked. And I thought about reaching out to her once the show ended, after like the whole Puppygate situation was over. But I didn't. And I have been thinking about reaching out to her and just like really having like a conversation. Cause I think that, cause here's the thing is like, I'm not the type of person that's like friends with somebody and then just like, can just like drop them, especially in like this weird situation that we were in. Cause I mean, we were friends and it's like, I don't know. It was just like a weird thing. And I think it's funny that like, I don't know. It's weird that she's like, oh, like, John Blizzard and I, like, we weren't friends. And I'm like, honey, like, I would talk to you, like, every day, and I'd see you probably, like, once or twice a week, because you'd bring your kids into this, like, to the rescue center, because, like, they would go to theater class across the street. Like, also, like, another aspect of the situation is, like, our adoption coordinator at the time was dating her little brother, and, like, our adoption coordinator is, like, my best friend. So, like, it's a, like I was saying, it's, like, a very weird and, like, everybody knows everybody. The small group of people, like, we all know each other. So for her to just be like, we weren't friends. Even though, like, also, like, on the show, she's like, oh, yeah, it wasn't weird that, like, John called me up. Like, it wasn't weird. Like there's a reason. Like, also, it's like, I'm not texting Kyle Richards every day. Like, I don't talk to Kyle Richards. You know, it's like, Kyle and I, like, we are not friends. Not, like, in a bad way.
Right.
But it's like, I just don't understand, like, how you can even say that we weren't friends. And I think it's funny, too, because, like, I've actually introduced Teddy to other people, like, within Bravo as well. Like, the reason why her and Cameron Westcott are friends is through me. Like, literally, like, I introduced them. And it's like, and then, like, on Watch What Happens Live, she's like, oh, yeah, like, my husband has, like, work in Dallas or business in Dallas, and, like, that's just how we met. I'm like, no, bitch, like, I introduced you guys. Like, not that I need credit or anything, but it's just, like, that's just, like, who I am. Like, that's how the level that we were, like, that I'm like, hey, like, I think that you'd love my friend Cameron. And I'm, like, linking them up. You know what I mean? It's just like friend. Like, if you're not friends, like, why would you do that? It's just
right. Weird. Were you hurt when she said that?
No, just because I know she was trying to save her ass. It's like, again, is a small group of people. Everyone kind of knows what's really happening. And at the end of the day, they're trying to put out to the public a certain perception and a certain kind of, I guess, narrative that they can hopefully try to control. So if at the beginning she's like, oh yeah, like we're buddy buddy. And then like three episodes later, she's like, oh, I don't even know him. It's like, because she's trying to shift blame and trying to get herself out of the situation. So
and what trying to show like, oh, Lisa put you up to this in her mind. We're not friends. Yeah. Why would he text me? Because he's texting me because Lisa, that was her motive, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I mean, does it shock you that, because I've seen this firsthand with all these women that I've known, does it ever shock you the extent to which these women, like the extent to which they would go through just to, you know, have that narrative, save their job, get the paycheck. It ends up being a big paycheck after 3-4 years. And like, you know, did you feel like disposable, you know, like if not Teddy, it could have been someone else, like they'll save their own ass to stay on the show.
100%. And I think there's something that's interesting too, is that like, I feel, I don't even remember if I said it. I just don't remember if it was said on the show or not. But like, Lisa and I had like a whole conversation actually that was filmed, but it wasn't shown at Brittany's engagement party actually. And basically what I told Lisa was like, regardless if I had told Teddy via text, she was going to find out regardless. It may not have been that exact way, but like I said, like our adoption coordinator was literally dating her little brother. Like her adoption coordinator, me and Teddy, like all, we all had a group message too. Like she was going to find out, and well, somebody was going to find out eventually anyway, because like, obviously it's like a week into filming, Dorit's dog is like not there. Everyone's going to be like, well, where's the dog? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's, I don't know. It's just like going about it may have been like the wrong way in terms of like, you know, being gossipy and texting her, whatever. But it wasn't Lisa that said it for me to even text Teddy at all. Lisa actually didn't even want to talk about it because she wanted to protect Dorit. She didn't want to talk about it. She just wanted the dog back essentially and kind of move on.
Right. So. Well, like to your point, like you said before, you know, so you're 23 years old at the time. You said before you're like, you're in Us Weekly, you're in every publication, print, digital, you're trending. We don't need to like rehash Puppygate because everyone knows the exact like steps. There's 20,000 steps out there we could all Google, but like,
yeah,
I mean, you're at your job, like you're just doing your job.
Yeah.
Like, are you shocked that, you know, a text and just this whole thing where you work became like the central, because like you're going into a new season of Beverly Hills. There's always something. Like, I mean, are you shocked that you are now like, you and John Sessa are like literally at the center of this entire major TV show that people are watching all over the world, and you're just trying to earn your paycheck at 23.
Oh yeah, 100%. I'm like, how did like a series of like 10 text messages literally turn into like a whole like crazy situation? And it was, I don't know, it was crazy. It was interesting, and I, you know, just kind of had to. I don't know. It was very interesting because I didn't even know that like. When filming was happening, all of us were blindsided, like Lisa, John, and I, because we had no idea that all this shit was going to go on in the Bahamas. Because like at that point, we thought it was over with. We thought it was done. Like we had moved on. We got the dog back. Like everything was fine. Like we were literally like, okay, like this was like a great 2-week situation that we were in, but we were all fine. We thought it was over. And then when like Teddy brings out text messages in the Bahamas, like we were all blindsided. Like Lisa called me from the Bahamas and she was like, what, like what is going on? Because like literally it's like I didn't even remember sending those texts necessarily because they were so like minuscule in my mind. Like I didn't even like think about it. She was like, were you texting Teddy about the whatever? And I was like, I mean, I guess, yeah. Like I just didn't even remember what exactly I said. I had to literally like scroll up. She was like, well, she showed me a screenshot where you said that like that I told you to tell you. I was like, no, I literally have it right here. And she just cropped it. Like, I never said that. So it's just like, it was just like a weird situation where we were all kind of just like literally just like so blindsided by it. Cause we literally thought that the conversation was done. Like, we thought it was over. And then, because they have nothing else to talk about, they bring it back up.
Were you, like, you know, I assume you don't report directly into Lisa. Like, were you shitting a brick when your phone rings and it's, like, Lisa Vanderpump asking you about specific words and texts that you sent? Like, I mean, I would shit. Like,
oh, yeah. I was like, oh, God, she's going to be so mad at me. But, you know, honestly, it was not that it was fine, but, you know, it's like we, you know, I just, you know, and that's the thing, too, is Lisa's always just like, say your truth, speak your truth. And I was like, listen, like, this is what happened. And the other thing, too, which is extra messy, is, like I said, it wasn't Lisa that told me to tell Teddy. It was actually John Sessa. He told me 3 times to text Teddy because he knew that he and I were friends and he wanted it out there. And Lisa didn't, which is also interesting because if you actually watch the first episode of the season, like, Hannah is the one who's the adoption coordinator that was bringing, who's dating Hud, Teddy's little brother. She actually had the dog and she was bringing it over because John told her to, because, like, in our heads, we all thought that, like, Lisa wanted this, but Lisa didn't. And it was actually John Sessa. And because he wanted to take Dorit down basically for being the way that she is. And Lisa saw that Hannah was bringing the dog over. And if you look at it, she goes over towards like the front counter and is literally like, no, like, don't do this. And that's when John brings the dog because Lisa was stopping Hannah from bringing the dog. And then John brings the dog into the situation. And that's when everything kind of spiraled out of control from there. But it's just very interesting because it's also like, you know, I was basically used for not Lisa's dirty work, but John's dirty work. He's like not even involved. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's just so interesting because it's like he basically used like my personal friendship with Teddy to create like a whole storyline, which was unnecessary. But again, it's like I would have told Teddy regardless. I just like wouldn't have like done it like right that second because it just happened the day before, which is why everybody was on edge.
But did John Sessa then use you to create a storyline, or did John Sessa use you because like dogs are his life and he just was like livid that Dorit would do things this way?
Both. I just think that he likes being on TV and he wants to be on TV, and like personally I don't really give a shit, so I'm like I just would prefer being like the social aspect. Like, I can be friends with everybody on TV, but, like, I don't need to be on it. But I think that he, like, likes it, and he wants to be on it. Like, he's, like, pushed people out of the way. Like when we filmed for Vanderpump Rules, he's, like, pushed, like, employees out of the way so he can, like, get on camera. I'm like, that is sad and depressing for your life and soul, but whatever.
And it also doesn't work that way. Like, you could be on camera for 17 hours, sweetie, if you're not part of the storyline.
No.
There's not 1 minute of it which will be seen on TV.
No. And I just think that he did that because exactly what you said. He didn't want to give Dorit a free pass because, again, like, with this specific situation, it was the first time a dog had ever been dropped off at a kill shelter. And it was, like, somebody that was, like, Lisa's best friend. And also, like, I went to Dorit's house to help set her up with the dog. Like, Hannah and I were at Dorit's house, like, setting up the doggy pen, like, telling her what food to eat. Like we literally, like, held her hand the entire way, which we never do. And it's just, like, I don't know, it was just, like, a weird situation. And it's, like, this dog, like, everyone had a specific kind of, like, tie to, because this dog was also, like, born from a pregnant mom that we had rescued. So it's, like, one of our old groomers has the mom dog, like, people had, like, raised this baby, like, at their house. Like, everyone just, like, had, like, a deep connection to this dog. And for somebody that was supposed to be Lisa's best friend to just drop it off somewhere, like, just wasn't okay. So.
Well, I mean, you say, so you were nervous when you got a call from Lisa, but, I mean, like, were you ever worried about, like, I'm going to lose my fucking job? Like, I don't care about the damn show?
No. And that was actually one of the things she said to me. She's like, you're not gonna lose your job. Like, it's like, cause she understands, like, it's just like, it's a bunch of crazy women that latch onto whatever. So I was never actually worried about that. And it was funny because, like, Bravo put out this whole article at one point during the season that was like, does John Blizzard still work at Vanderpump Dogs? And I was like, yep. Like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people were like, oh my God, he's going to get fired. A lot of people, and I was like, that was never an issue and was never a topic of discussion, to be quite honest. Like, it, like, never was going to happen.
Well, that's a great boss. And Lisa's probably like, well, you're team Vanderpump, so I get it. Like,
yeah,
I've dealt with these women for however many seasons. I know that it's not you. So that's at least good.
Yeah.
But what about, like, then John Cecil? Like, did Lisa have the same thought process you did of, like, John Cecil wants camera time and a story and his name and out there? Did that ever cross Lisa's mind?
I'm sure it did. But also, I mean, like, they're partners. So it's, like, for, I think in, like, terms of, like, a dog foundation standpoint, I mean, like, if he's out there, then, like, the foundation is shown, even if it's in a negative light at the moment. But it's still, you know, being talked about. So I don't think that she ever had that same conversation with him necessarily, but I mean, she knows that he was the one that did it. So, cause I told her. So I don't know. I mean, we all had it. What you also didn't see on camera was the day that we filmed at the center with all, when everything went down, is John, Lisa, and I went upstairs and we had like a huge, like, blow up, like, screaming match at each other.
Wow.
because Lisa was pissed. The cameras couldn't get in to, like, the area we were in because it's, like, kind of an enclosed thing. But, like, they definitely were, like, around the corner. So, like, it exists somewhere. But she was really pissed at John because she didn't want it brought up. And he brought it up. And basically, we were just like, listen, like, Dorit is a horrible person for doing this. Because at that point, we were doing it about the dog and about, like, not letting her get a free pass. And she wasn't happy about it. Like, we had a whole screaming match, like, all of us about, like, your friend is awful. Like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you protecting her? I don't know. It was just like it was a big situation that day. It was like a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress and like just like a lot of emotions that day. Like, there was too much going on in one day.
Do you get as stressed out when planning a vacation as I do? Where to go, what to do, where to stay? I definitely needed some extra help in choosing the perfect spot for my next vacation. And that is why I turned to Apple Vacations. They're great. They're known as America's favorite vacation company for good reason. Just think of them, and this is music to my ears, as your one-stop shop for that next level summer vacation. Apple Vacations will help you plan your entire getaway with confidence from start to finish. We're talking personalized service, exceptional values, and so much more. Plus, you can choose the most gorgeous destinations like Mexico, the Caribbean, Central America, Hawaii, and the continental US. Each all-inclusive Apple Vacations package includes round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations, meals, drinks, entertainment, and tips. Nonstop transfers are also included at no additional cost at select hotels. So the entire vacation is as seamless as possible. For a limited time, you can use promo code SAND75, that's SAND75, and take $75 off your stay at Live Aqua in Cancun or Punta Cana. Just go to applevacations.com/BTVR to get the steal of a deal to your favorite Live Aqua resort today. Again, just go to applevacations.com/BTVR to get this amazing deal at your favorite Live Aqua resort today. And the cameras were there. I mean, the footage must exist somewhere.
The footage exists. I just don't know where. I mean, Evolution has it, so if they want to drop it, drop it. But
and when Lisa was up there screaming, she was screaming more at John Cessa than you?
She was screaming more at John, yeah, for bringing the dog out.
And what was he screaming back? Like, was it
basically
more?
Basically about, like, you know, why are you protecting her? What did you do? Not what did you do, but, like, you know, just, like, kind of, like this dog literally, like, like, again, like, this is the only time that we've ever had this ever happen before. And, like, this is your best friend. Like, why are you protecting her? Like, why didn't she just, like, I don't know. There's, like, a lot of just, like, I don't know. We were just, like, so confused by the situation.
And what were you screaming then? You were just screaming because you were somehow in the middle of all this?
Yeah. I was just mainly mad at Doreen because, like, again, because this specific dog everybody had a connection with, that it was, like, I just don't get it. And like the reasoning that she gave it up to, I was like, this doesn't even make sense. Like, it was just like, I don't know. I was mainly just screaming about Dorit being a horrible person. I can't remember exactly what I said. I basically was just like screaming that she was a horrible person and all this stuff. So,
well, I would like to see that lost footage one day. Evolution. If you'd like to send it to me. Well, what about, you know, did you say these things to John Cecil, like after the fact of like, fuck you, I think that you just wanted camera time and now this is all out there and like I'm in the middle of this mess. I mean, you're saying it here, like
you work with him,
like it's isn't that gonna be awkward? Well,
it's funny because I've never said it to him directly, but everyone talks about it at Vanderpump Dogs, past and present. It's just no one's ever said it to his face, so I guess we're saying it now.
So isn't that gonna be weird? Like if you're working with him?
I'm like, it's whatever. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't know. It's all just like stupid bullshit. Like there's bigger issues going on in the world. So like, I don't care. So.
Listen, I know the type that loves their camera time. I get it.
Oh, yeah.
So like, you don't report to John Cess or anything like that? Like it's not.
Oh, I do. Okay. I mean, it's a small group of us. Like there's like literally 5 of us there.
Okay.
But, like, at the end of the day, it's, like, we can all fight and we can all, like, say whatever we want. But, like, we can all, like, be chill. You know what I mean? Like, hash it out, move on. So.
What did your parents say? Like, I mean, I assume that, I mean, maybe they're not on social media the way we all are. But, like, I assume they heard of your name and it was in Us Week. Like you said, you were trending on everything.
Good question. They don't really pay attention to like housewives stuff or like anything like that. So like, obviously they knew because like their friend would like call them and be like, oh my God, like John is like all over, like whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, okay. Like they just like, they weren't like mad. They weren't like happy. They weren't like upset. They weren't like anything. They were just kind of like, whatever. I just don't think it's funny because like, even now, like they don't realize that like a lot of people know me and it's really weird. Like my mom was visiting back in September. And we like went to this Mexican restaurant here in LA and like the waiter like freaked out. He was like, oh my God, like you're John Blizzard. And my mom was like, oh, like, did you know that from like the reservation? And he was like, no, like you're on Beverly Hills. And my mom was like, what? Cause she like just doesn't understand. Like she, like in her mind, it's just like, I'm literally just like, I am a normal human being, but like, she just like was so like, that is so funny. And like, I'll get recognized at like the airport. Like, it's so weird. It is so bizarre. But that's just kind of like the level that like my parents are at. It's like, they don't really like realize that like, you know, people know me. So.
Did you hear from anyone else? Like Ariana, when you were trending, like, did you hear from anyone else like in the Bravo universe? Not even necessarily connected to RHOBH or V.
Yeah. I mean, let's see. Not in the moment, but like past, like I've kind of talked to a lot of people, not necessarily in the moment, but like Bronwyn is one of my really good friends now from Orange County. So like, I mean, we just like discussed it, but like it was after the fact, so it doesn't really matter. I've just talked about like some other things with like just like randomly like DMing, just like whatever, with like Courtney from Below Deck, who's not on there anymore. But I don't know. I mean, like it's a small world that like people are like involved with, but like at the time, I don't think anybody reached out to me except for anybody.
Cause I was going to say, what about the Dallas girls that have known you? Yeah. Like the next thing, like.
All of them reached out to me and talked to me while it was happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think.
Were they like, what the fuck?
Or yeah, they, no, like, literally. No, literally, that's actually what they said. They were like, what the fuck is going on? And I was like, honestly, I have no idea. I was like, you know more than me, and I'm involved. So, but yeah, I'm just trying to think. I think that was it. Otherwise, it was just like, you know, all my other, like, friends that, like, you know, aren't on Bravo or, like, people that are, like, connected to the foundation very heavily, like, some of our major sponsors and donors and things like that. But yeah, it was mainly the Dallas girls that reached out to me during this whole situation. And, you know, a couple people from Vanderpump Rules. But, you know, that's what it is.
Have you changed anything about your texting habits? Are you now like, wait, everything I say can and will be used against me, no matter how innocent, in this world of 2019, 2020, 2018?
Oh, 100%. I'm like, I have PTSD. I'm like, I don't know. It's just like, I'm more careful, I guess, at what I say. And phone calls are always a good option. Just make sure nobody's recording it. And also the good old-fashioned in-person situation. But I try not to text, you know, like certain people, certain things, you know what I mean? I think it's interesting.
I would just be like, yeah. I don't want to say anything ever again in text about anyone ever.
Yeah.
We can meet up and discuss this in person.
I 100%.
What about, like, does any part of you ever feel guilty for, like, the fact, and I'm not saying you should, I'm just asking, like, the fact that, like, LVP and Kyle are not friends anymore, which really is a result of this whole thing?
I mean, there were other issues between them. I just think that this was, like, the thing that took it over. But no, because at the end of the day, and this is what I always like to think, it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, if Dorit would have just been a good person and just returned the dog back, like, to us, like she was supposed to, literally, like, she signed a contract and she still owes us $5,000 from that, by the way, because she broke the contract, is that none of this would have happened. Like, I just, like, it still, like, goes back to that for me. It's just, like, why did you drop your dog the first week of filming? I just think that's weird, too. You had an entire summer if you didn't want the dog to get... as bad as it sounded, like, to get rid of the dog and just bring it back to us. I just don't know why you waited until the first week of filming. Like, it's just, like, a weird, like, I don't know. So, do I feel guilty? I wouldn't say necessarily, because they had their own issues, but I definitely think that, you know, it definitely, like, exacerbated it and made their situation a lot worse. But, you know, they were always on the outs kind of anyway at that point. I just think it's an unfortunate situation that literally it's, like, someone else kind of ruined a friendship in terms of, like, a situation. So,
right.
So,
to your point about Dorit waiting, do you think Dorit did that for a storyline?
See, that's what we've kind of discussed as, like, a group, not with Lisa, like a banner from dogs, because we're like, I don't know, I just think it's weird that, like, you've had this dog for, what, 9 months now at this point, and then, I don't know, you just, like, get rid of it the first week. I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird to me. And we're never going to get the full story from her ever. So, no. I don't know. There's just lots of unknowns and lots of situations that happened. And I think it's weird. I don't know.
I mean, like, I get that you didn't really care about being on TV. You're just minding your own business and doing your job. I mean, is John Cecil, like, thrilled? I mean, job well done. That was your goal to get on. Yeah. Like, people know his name now.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I don't know. I think probably, yeah. I don't know. I'm just, like, trying to think of, like, I'm just thinking of what to say. I'm deciding how, like, messy I want to be. But
you can be as messy as you would like.
I know. I just think that he may have been a little bit, like, ticked off that, like, people knew who I was more than him, because I really didn't want to be involved. And I, like, just was, like, the conduit basically to the whole situation. Cause, like, I remember there was one article that was written that was like, who is the other John at Banner from Dogs, referring to, like, him as the other John.
Oh.
And it's like, he's the executive director. He's whatever. And it's like, I'm just, like, doing the events and PR. And I think that was, like, one of the things, like, I don't know, there's, like, incidents like that. And it's like, I've been on Cameo for, like, you know, a year and a half now or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just, like, he just got on, like, a couple days ago just because we have a partnership with them. Not because they, like, wanted him to be on, but because, like, we have a partnership with them, like, as a foundation. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just, like, I don't know. I don't know.
I get what you're saying. Like, right. Like, if you really wanted this, I mean, you got it, but maybe he indirectly got it for you too, and that you didn't want it, but somehow that bothers them. I could see that.
Exactly. I don't know.
What about, do you think Teddy deserved to be let go? Just as a housewife, like, was she a good housewife? Like, what makes a good housewife? Do you think she was deserved to be let go? Like, objectively, even though you're not speaking.
Yeah, I mean, like, granted, like, I honestly, like, here's the thing. I have nothing bad to say about Teddy. Like, honestly, at the end of the day, I really have nothing bad to say about her. Because she's really nice. I love her kids. Her husband's great. But I just think as a housewife, especially, like, in Beverly Hills, where everyone's so dynamic and so kind of, like, over the top sometimes, she was a little just, like, which is not bad, but, like, she just was, like, a little bit boring sometimes, which, like, I love. Like, I'm just, like, that's fine. Like, just be, like, a normal person. Like, you don't need to be dressed to the nines, you know, every 2 seconds and also, like, you know, do whatever. But for some people, and especially, like, in Beverly Hills, it's, like, they didn't like that. So I think that, you know, and especially because she left and who they're adding, I think is a great kind of, like, switcheroo. You know what I mean? Like, to add, like, Crystal and Kathy. Definitely, I mean, like, compare the two. It's like, would you rather have Teddy Mellencamp or have, like, Crystal and fucking Kathy Hilton on the show? You know what I mean? Like, it's Kathy Hilton. So
I don't even know how they got Kathy. Like, it just, I know. I'm still shocked and speechless for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, it did no wonders for Kim and Kyle's relationship. I mean, it's fine, but it had its moments. And Kathy actually is one of the few people that doesn't need the money. So
100%.
Because she doesn't give a fuck. She's like, you can fire me any day. I really don't care.
So I don't know. I just think it's interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think it was, you know, like, she has a new baby now too, like Teddy does. I don't know. Like, maybe it's good just to, like, kind of step back for a little bit.
I can't tell you how much traveling I've been doing in the past few weeks, and airports and airplanes are packed. People want to get away. Listen, if your dreams of that vacation or enjoying the fun of life are turning back into a reality for you, don't stress over the financial setbacks that can keep you from saying yes. Credit Karma is here to help you keep your financial goals in check so you won't have to hit pause on a good time. Credit Karma's game-changing technology shows you tailored offers for credit cards and personal loans that you're more likely to be approved for so you can apply with more confidence. They use your credit and other financial information to show you custom recommendations. Whether you want cash back, travel rewards, or to consolidate debt, Credit Karma can help you find the offers that fit your goals, because your goals may not be the same as my goals. With a selection of options and approved odds, you have the power to make informed decisions. Credit Karma, apply with confidence and you will be on that beach enjoying that drink in no time. Go to creditkarma.com/podcast to learn more and find offers tailored just for you. That's creditkarma.com/podcast. Or you can see your offers on the Credit Karma app. Apply with confidence today. Go to creditkarma.com/podcast or the Credit Karma app.
But, you know, I think she was good for the time being. And yeah.
Do you miss your friendship with her? Like, all said and done?
Yes and no. I don't know. I mean, it's been 2 years of, like, us not talking, and, like, I'm fine. But that at the end of the day, but, like, at the same time, it's like, I'm that person that, like, I don't like just like, oh, we're not friends anymore. You know what I mean? And over something that's so stupid too. So I don't know. Like I said, like, I thought about reaching out to her. I don't know if she wants to talk to me, but, you know, just having a conversation, I think, would be.
Do you think you will?
Maybe. Like, I think I would, like, absolutely, like, love to just, like, literally, like, sit with her and just, like, talk. Like, I don't want to do a phone call. I don't want to do all that. But just, like, literally just, like, you know, sit down and, like, just talk about the situation.
I think if you have any chance of repairing your friendship, the fact that she's not on the show was actually a huge help.
Oh, 100%, which, you know, is probably a good thing for, you know, if I want to do that.
The longer you're gone, the more you get back to, like, normal life.
Oh, 100%.
Do you ever run into, like, Teddy, Doree, just from, like, living?
Yeah.
Really?
It was funny. It was after the show had already aired, though, or maybe it was airing at the time. I can't remember. But John Sessa and I were at like a meeting for an event that we were going to do at the London Hotel. And we were like, oh, let's just go get lunch. And we both really like this place called the Petite Four. It's at Sunset Plaza in LA. And we were like, okay, let's go there. But also next door, there's a sushi place. And then like last second, we were like, oh, let's just go get sushi instead. And we're literally like waiting at the host stand. And I like look up and like I see Teddy's daughter, Slate, like at the table. And Teddy was like looking down, so she couldn't see us because she had like something had dropped on the floor at that exact same moment. I literally was like, we got to get the fuck out of here. And so John and I like ran next door to the Petite Four and just ate there instead. But I don't think she saw us, but it was just kind of like, oh my God. Like I just don't know what we would have done in that situation where it was like John and I, like in a public place, and like it's like Teddy like by herself, like with her like kids, you know what I mean? It's just like that was the one time that I've seen her. Just like,
when was that again? Like how, like was that?
That was August of last year, I guess, maybe.
Wow.
I don't know.
I don't know what you would have said standing there.
I don't know. It's just like when it's awkward when you just like have so much like friction and contention with somebody, and then like you're just like thrown, I guess, kind of a situation where you're just like, oh, like hello, like wasn't prepared for this. So thankfully, again, I don't think that she saw us. I don't think it would have been necessarily a problem, but I just wasn't ready to have that conversation at a sushi place. You know what I mean?
Right, that makes sense. So, and you've never run into her, Dorit, or Kyle, or anyone?
No, not in a while. I think that I can remember. No, I didn't run into PK, but he was staying next door to my friends. He was staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and he was like next door neighbors with like my friend who like also John and I were like with, because like she's also like on the board. She's one of our big sponsors too, and she was down from NorCal like visiting or whatever. But I didn't see him, didn't run into him, but it was just like, didn't know till after we left that like he was literally next door.
Wow.
I don't know. It's a small town, but like I haven't run into Dorit herself or Kyle at all. And I think also, I mean, we've been locked down since March anyway, so like nobody's really seen anybody. But even before then, like I never saw them. So
what about like when all this happened? Because like you can be a saint or an angel on a Bravo show and you still get hate, but this was a very controversial thing. Like, yeah. I assume you got tons of online hate. I mean, we all do.
Oh, 100%. And actually, you know, I've had this conversation with other people on Bravo that are going through like awful situations. Is I was like, honestly, for your mental health, and that's what I did, is like I went on Twitter and I like muted everybody that like I don't follow or who doesn't follow me, because it got to the point where people were just saying like awful things, and I'm like, you don't even know me, like you've seen like 5 minutes of me and that's about it. So I don't know, it's just like the amount of hate, but then also like the amount of people that like weirdly like me is hilarious too, because I'm like, I was just a messy bitch, like like indirectly, like didn't mean to, but like it's so funny because like I was saying earlier, it's like, you know, I'm on Cameo, and you know, it's like I get all these like really funny like requests from people that are like, oh my God, like we love you, like blah blah blah, like I don't know, it's just, it's so funny. And it, I think it's great too, just like even if I'm hated or whatever, just to be able to have like, if you can affect like one person by like, you know, making their day through just like, you know, communicating with them on any social platform, because you never know what people are going through. And like me, like I'm literally a nobody, but it's like, you know, if I can just like help one person, like that's perfect for me. But definitely the amount of hate that I got was like extraordinary. I'm like, it was like borderline, like the level that like Teddy hate, like I got the same amount. Like everyone just like hated all of us, and it was just like, oh my God. But, you know, you learn, you live from it, you learn from it, you grow from it. So.
Did you ever go down that road though, before getting here? Like, and just saying like, did you, you know, it's a black hole. Like, did you go there? Cause a lot of people do, like where you were reading the comments and just upset, depressed, or you just never did that.
The first like couple of days Yeah, and then I stopped because I was like, this is, like, so hateful. And also, like, you guys, like, your picture is literally an egg on Twitter. And you have, like, 153 followers. Like, I don't know why you're even, like, talking to me.
Right. And it's the same people that will go through and they'll comment. You watch, like, oh, like, wait, like, you're commenting the same thing to Ramona in New York. It's just, like, they just literally attack the Bravoverse. It's sick.
Oh, 100%.
It's sick.
I know. And it's, like, I don't know. I just don't get it. And I don't get why people are so mean. And, like, I don't know. Just, like, you don't know these people. And it's just, like, they're, like, putting their lives out there for you. Some of them unexpectedly, like me. But I don't know. It's just, I just don't get why people are so mean. But like I said, I mean, it's been fun despite all the hate. Like I said, like, I mean, I'll go to the airport and people will recognize me. Like, if I'm at, like, TomTom, Sir, Pump, or anything like that, you know, like, people come up to me and take pictures with me. Like, it's just, like, bizarre because I'm like, oh, like, this is funny. Like, people take pictures with me. And even at work, like, if I'm downstairs at Vanderpump Dogs, like, people literally, like, will come up to me. And, like, one of them, I remember one of my coworkers, because, like, I'm not there on the weekends, and, you know, a lot of tourists are there over the weekend. One of them went up to my coworker and was like, does John Blizzard really work here? And they were like, yeah. And then they were like, well, is he, like, actually nice in real life? And they were like, yeah, he's, like, actually really nice. Like, it's just, like, funny that, like, random people are literally coming up to my coworkers, like, asking them these questions, like, at my place of work. It's just interesting. It's funny.
Does it annoy you that people that are not really in the know confuse you and John Sessa?
Not really, because, like, one is all natural and one isn't. So I'm like, that's your own fault if you can't make the distinguishment. So.
You are coming for Sessa today.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would assume people that come in want to meet you guys. I mean, they're there and they're not from LA or,
yeah.
You know.
It's funny because, like, I feel like in real life, nobody's ever obviously gotten us mixed up because they'll know who is who. Online, though, I think it's interesting just because, especially when it was first kind of happening, because it's like, we're both named John, so it's confusing. So everyone's like, wait, who's who? So they're like, John Blizzard did this. I was like, no, that was the other one. And I was like, so it was kind of, I wouldn't say it was, like, annoying or anything, but it was kind of, like, it's, for me, it's, like, it's not that hard, but also I understand because, like, when there's too many pieces in the puzzle, it's confusing. And I feel like everyone was just totally confused by the puppy gate situation anyway, because there were so many moving parts, you know, like, there were, like, 10 people involved, and it was just, like, it was too much. Like, you can't keep track of all that.
It was one of the more confusing storylines, yes, I think. Especially with, like, the text and, like, everyone's motivation and why is this important. I'm like, I'm confused at times.
Yeah, I mean, like, even the way I said earlier, too, it's just, like, I was actively involved and I was confused. Like, I didn't even know what's going on. And, like, I was involved. Like, it was just crazy.
Well, especially when Lisa's calling you and showing you a text message that was cropped, you're like,
yeah, I was like, what? It's like, this doesn't even, like, it was weird.
So then what? You're like, Lisa, listen, I'm going to send you 17 text messages right now.
That's literally what I had to do. I screenshotted everything, sent them to Ken because Ken was still in the United States. And then it was just like, oh my God. And then like literally, and that's the other thing too. It's like, if I'm not friends with this person, why do I have like a whole like binder full of texts? You know what I mean? It's just like,
right.
I don't know. But like, it was kind of funny, but it was just like, you guys, like, I did nothing wrong. Like, I was like, you can see like half my phone. Like, I don't really care. So
when you are willing to hand over the phone, that is when you are an innocent man.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I was like, literally take it. Like, I don't care. I was like, the whole world has seen my text. Like, it's fine. I don't care.
Well, yeah. I mean, that must have been a strange turn of events also when...
It's funny because, like, they didn't... Like, Bravo Evolution, like, they didn't tell me. Like, they didn't say, oh, like, all this is going to be shown. Like, I had no idea that, like, my text messages were going to be shown on national TV like that. I had no idea. I was totally in the dark about everything. I learned when everyone else found out when they were watching in real time.
Did you know the extent, because, like, you know, you're filming it, it's happening in real time, but, like, you weren't in 1,000 scenes, so, like, were you aware that this, mm-hmm. like, you weren't aware this was actually going to be a major storyline.
No,
and because it came out.
No, and I didn't realize that all these women had my name in their mouth, like, so constantly. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't realize that, you know, until later on. Just because, like I said, like, we all thought it was done. And then everything happened in the Bahamas, and it kind of spiraled from there. So I don't know. It was just like a weird experience. But yeah, I had no idea that I was going to be so actively featured and involved, even though I really was only on screen for maybe like 5 minutes the entire season. But like, I was talked about the entire season. Like, I felt like camera this season on OC, like, not on, but like talked about constantly.
True. I mean, it is true. Cause like, I just thought of that now, like, right. Like, you were only on for 2 seconds, 5 seconds. Right. So you didn't really know. And then you're not getting the screeners. Like, you're not a cast member. So you really watched it with the rest of us that, like, oh shit, your name is in everyone's mouth nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, just wasn't expecting it. Found out like everybody else did.
who names these dogs? Like, Lucy Applejuice, like, come on now. Like, I mean, it's great, but like, who comes up with these names?
So that actually Dorit's kids named the dog that after it was adopted. Otherwise all of us just kind of like take turns naming the dogs. We do have a baby book, just so,
really,
like,
I love it.
Yeah, so just like, if we're not like creative enough, then we'll just like flip it open and we're like, oh, this name sounds cute. But it's kind of how it works. That was Dorit's kids. I don't even remember what the dog's original name was at the center. I can't remember, but yeah, that was on her, that was not us.
I mean, it just takes this whole story and elevates it even higher. Like, if that was even possible, like, you're like, this is the most, not in 1,000 years would I come up with this name ever.
Oh, I know. I was like, okay, but.
What about, like you said, the Vanderpump Dogs annual gala, like that became a thing, like that became a Bravo thing, a celebrity thing. I mean, that became a really big event.
Yeah, and it's super great for the foundation just because we're able to raise a lot of money that night. That really helps with all of our initiatives because we do a lot of things internationally as well, not just in LA. Like, we don't just do adoptions. Like, we do a whole bunch of other things. Like, we actually have a veterans program that we started up this year. So we've actually paired up 2 veterans already with dogs that we've had our trainer train. So they literally help people that have suffered from, you know, or that are suffering from PTSD following kind of their involvement in the military overseas. So there's like good things that we're doing outside of just like adopting out dogs. And so like this gala really helps to promote and highlight and raise funds for all these things that we do. And honestly, it's a really fun night because it's kind of like the original BravoCon. everybody who's on Bravo like is there, and like they're all like people that I know. Like, that's how like I'm inviting everybody essentially. So you know, like Melissa Gorga, like she, like I love her. She's like one of my friends, and like she has been so supportive, and she'll literally fly from Jersey every year to come support. You know, my friends from Dallas, like they'll come, you know, they're, you know, buying a table, they'll have like a Dallas table. And you know, they're all there. And it's just like a fun night, and it's kind of the one kind of night that I feel like everybody, like it's kind of like a high school reunion type situation.
Yeah,
where it's like everybody from Bravo can come together and like have fun, but also like raise money and bring awareness to like what Vanderpump Dogs is doing, which is great. And it's just like a really fun night, and everyone gets wasted,
which is always fun.
Yeah, and it's a good time.
There's hopefully there'll be one next year, because I mean, it raises a lot of money, like
this,
you said.
Yeah, so like this year we weren't able to do one, unfortunately. But like next year, like it's going to be like, hopefully, you know, bigger and better than, you know, everything.
When is it usually? Like, I forgot what time of year it was.
Usually it's November. So usually it's like middle of November. But it's really fun. And we always, you know, get to highlight, you know, specific dogs from the year or people that have helped out dogs. And just kind of, you know, really focus on, you know, saying thank you to everyone that's been involved with the foundation as well, which is great.
So what's the current state of Vanderpump Dogs now? Like, you're working at home, but I mean, the dogs are there.
Yeah, the dogs are there. So we are open. We're an essential business, so we've remained open the entire time. So dogs are up for adoption. Our adoption rates have been through the roof just because everybody is staying at home, they're lonely, and they want a friend, which is great. But yeah, I mean, it's been kind of a struggle just because it's like everything's been closed. Like we haven't, like we weren't able to do like our gala. We weren't able to do World Dog Day. Like we've transitioned to doing like online kind of like virtual fundraisers and other kind of like fun campaigns. But like our events, not just like me, but like Lisa and Ken and John and Pandora, like all of us, like the events are like what we live for. Like they're so much fun. They're a lot of work. Like Pandora and I want to like swan dive off a building because it's like, you know, like we're doing like, we're working like nonstop to make sure these events are like going to go smoothly. So it's kind of sad. Like we just aren't able to like see like people that, you know, we've known for years that have helped support the foundation and just like have a fun time and get together for the canine community. So it's been a little bit sad, a little depressing, but in terms of like dogs and everything, like it's going great. And like you guys can go to vanhomedogs.org and see what dogs are there right now. And you know, hopefully, you know, if you're in the LA area, you know, you can just like go on by and go see them.
That's what I heard. I heard that dog adoption rates were, I mean, I don't study the statistics, but I heard they're way up because people are home.
Yeah, of course.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about how, I mean, have you heard from Ken and Lisa? Like, how are they doing? Like, I mean, the restaurants are not open.
Yeah, I mean, in that aspect, I mean, it's been a struggle. Like, they, like, Pump was only open for a couple weeks, and then the governor shut everything back down again, even outdoor dining. So, you know, I just, like, I try not to, like, step on people's toes and, like, ask about, like, that type of situation. But, I don't know. I mean, I think they're okay. Lisa came by the center the other day. I wasn't there that day, though. So I didn't see her. But, you know, I've seen her on, like, Zoom stuff that we've been doing and whatever. So yeah.
So Lisa's really actively involved in Vanderpump Dogs.
Yeah.
Have you listened to Lisa's podcast yet?
You know, I haven't.
It's so. You're entitled, you're working, you know, you're busy.
Exactly. We'll go with that. But
add that to your list. And you can listen to that after you listen to the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast.
Of course, obviously.
And have you ever been to Villa Rosa?
Yeah. A lot. Obviously, you know, everyone saw me there, like, when I was filming for Housewives, but, you know, I haven't been there since COVID, obviously, but, like, yeah, I've been there a lot. Yeah,
I didn't know if you were just there for filming or, like, you've actually been to just...
No, yeah, I've been there a lot. I've done, like, other filming things there, but also, I mean, I've just been there for, like, other things that we've done, and, I mean, like, the dog that she adopted most recently, Binky, who's like the Wheaton Terrier, like I was the one that brought the dog up to the house to like meet them and things like that. So I mean, like, I go up to the house pretty frequently, and like if there's ever like stuff like going on, like we'll go up there. I've been there after, like, we went like on a trip to Vegas for like the foundation, and like I, you know, we go back to the house after we get back from the airport. I don't know, it's like it's nice because like they're very like, it's a small group of people. And, like, everyone knows everybody, and, like, it's kind of, like, family. Like, again, like, we do all, like, maybe shit on each other occasionally. Like, I may or may not have done during this podcast. But it's, like, at the end of the day, it's, like, you know, we're all family. So, and family's fight. But, you know, it's just how it is. So.
Speaking of family, because we've had a loss in the family, has anyone spoken to Lisa regarding Jiggy?
Yeah. She's, you know, she's okay. You know, she's devastated, obviously. Ken is especially, you know, devastated by it. You know, Jiggy, you could not go anywhere. Like, Ken cannot go anywhere without Jiggy. Like, Jiggy is always with Ken. He loves all of those dogs immensely. Like, I remember when the other dogs died a couple of years ago, and he was just a wreck. And, like, to have Jiggy pass is just, like, unimaginable. I mean, we all knew eventually it was going to happen, of course, but, you know, I feel sad for them because it's like losing a kid basically for them. And it's kind of crazy just to see kind of the outpouring too of like, you know, the reaction to like Jiggy, like passing, just like everybody being like, oh my gosh, like Like, he was the reason why I watched Beverly Hills. Like, I don't know. It's, like, it's so interesting because, like, he really was, like, the first dog of Bravo. Like, there, besides, like, T'Challa at this point that Monique has, like, there really hasn't been many animals that, like, people, like, love and adore. Like, maybe, like, Archie that, like, Shannon has. But, like, otherwise, like, animals just, like, people's, like, pets aren't, like, a huge thing. And Jiggy was such, like, an integral part of just, like, the Beverly Hills lifestyle too, of like this like little Pomeranian dog that has no hair but wears like designer clothes. Like, it's just such an interesting situation.
I think people try, but you're right. And other than T'Challa is the one that I think of other than Jiggy.
Yeah, that's about it.
And to your point, Andy Cohen even called him like the first pet of Bravo.
Yeah. So I don't know, it's sad, but you know, it's, you know.
Do you think, I mean, has Ken, you think Ken has taken this harder than Lisa?
I think, I mean, both equally, obviously, but, like, Ken just, like, loves and adores those dogs. And so I just know that, you know, he's especially hurt by all of this. But, you know, obviously both of them. But, you know, he loves dogs, and he is the reason, you know, besides like Jiggy and, you know, Lisa, obviously, but Ken is really kind of the forefront of Vanderpump Dogs anyway. Like, he cares about dogs so much that he would do anything for dogs. So that's what I love about him.
And finally, as we wrap up, thank you for your time, first of all.
Yeah, for sure.
But what is next for you?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm still like at Vanderpump kind of, but it's like, we're not doing events and stuff. So I don't know, like, I've been there like for almost 5 years now. So I don't know. I'm wondering if like, maybe it's time to move on, and like do other things. Same time to think of what I want to say. It's like, I think everyone like moves on from like something that they love and they go on to something else. But I think like COVID just kind of like sped up the process for me perhaps. So I don't know, I'm just like figuring it out and just kind of seeing, but like, as of right now, like, I mean, I'm still just like kind of hanging out and like just doing some other like virtual events with Vanderpump, and like, that's what's kind of next. So
do you think if it wasn't for COVID, you would have moved on already? Like, you would have found another job? Like, were you?
Oh no, I think I would have continued on, but I think like now I'm just like kind of realizing that like, oh, like, I don't know, like, I'm just like, I think also because COVID's really opened up a lot more doors, it's like you can work remote now.
Yeah.
So like I could like do things for, you know, another charity if I would like, but not have to necessarily live there at the moment. And
totally.
You know, it's just like, because I don't really want to leave LA. Like, I love LA. Like, I could possibly go back to Dallas, but I don't know. It's like, I have my friends here, I have my life, I have everything. So I don't know. I think it's just like open-ended. And you know, I think eventually, like, I should have taken the past couple months during COVID to, like, do this, but I think eventually, like, you know, like, write, like, a book just about, like, my whole, like, experience of, like, you know, not just housewives, but just about, like, my life, too. Like, I don't know, I just have a very interesting upbringing and a very interesting life, and I think that it would be, you know, cool just to be able to, like, kind of speak onto that through, like, a book. So, you know, maybe something like that in the future. But yeah, I think just kind of figuring it out and seeing kind of what's next.
That's awesome. Well, where can everyone find you online?
Just at John Bliz on Instagram is the best. Twitter is at John Blizzard XO, because someone already had John Bliz. So
unacceptable.
I know. I was like, how many of us are there in the world? So apparently,
well, you're the one that most people I think are looking for.
Yeah, exactly. So,
awesome. Great. I really appreciate it.
Great. Well, thanks. It was so fun.
See you later. Thank you, John.
Later. Yeah, of course.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.